Okay, so we're going to talk about hazardous medical procedures and triage according to Rav Asher Weiss. Rav Asher Weiss is a major contemporary posek, and he's written a lot on a lot of contemporary issues. So this season we're talking about different medical issues that Rav Asher Weiss has opined upon, and today is hazardous medical procedures and triage. So first, again, a little background. There's a Gemara in Yoma in the source one in Daf Pei Amud Aleph talks about a case the following. It says, Misha nafal alav mapola. So let's say if an avalanche falls on someone, so halacha is you're supposed to try to rescue the person. If there's an avalanche, there's stones, something fell on someone. So the Gemara says, my kamar, like what's it telling you? Like obviously, lo mi bai safek hu sham safek eino sham. Certainly, let's say there's an avalanche and it's Shabbos. Let's say it's Shabbos, so you have to set aside the Torah prohibitions. So let's say there's a possibility he's there, possibly he's not there. You're not sure. Obviously, you should do it. And then the Gemara sort of concludes. It says that you check to see if he's alive or not alive, and then the Gemara concludes and says, "Mitzoh chai mifakhim." If you remove the debris and he's alive, so then you continue clearing more debris. So the Gemara says, "Mitzoh chai pshita." It's obvious. Lo tzricha dafil chayisha. So the Gemara has this line, which says that even for temporal life, in other words, even for a short period of time, you can violate set aside Shabbos prohibitions, even to enable someone to live a short period of time. Okay, whatever, we have to define what that means. So the point is there's value to what's called chaye sha'a, even if it means setting aside Shabbos prohibitions. Now we have another Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Chav Zayin Beis, which says the following: in those days, there was, at least in the days of the Gemara, there was a big fear of going to non-Jewish doctors. Because you're afraid they're going to kill you. Like that the non-Jews hates the Jew, and afraid it's not so certain that the doctor is going to treat you well. Okay, not that he's not as competent as the Jewish doctor. It's that there was a concern back then. It's not the I don't think anyone says it applies nowadays. I think people just go to the best doctors, Jew or non-Jew nowadays. So I'm just telling you that that's important to know in terms of our discussion. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Yochanan, some say, Safek Chai, Safek Meis, Avodah Zarah Chav Zayin Beis, that there's a doubt whether the person is going to live or die. Ein Misrapi Mehem, don't go to a non-Jewish doctor. In other words, right now, you have an ailment. You might live, you might not live. You keep your chances, you know, by not going to non-Jewish doctors, because you might live. But if you go to a non-Jewish doctor, there's a good chance that he's going to try to kill you. Again, I'm not saying at all, I think, contemporary. But the Gemara says, Vadai meis misrapim behem. So we're saying, though, if you have an ailment, and if you don't treat it, you're definitely going to die. But if you go to the doctor, the non-Jewish doctor, maybe he's going to kill you, maybe not, then it's worth it. So the Gemara says, again, let me be very clear. You can go to Jewish, non-Jewish docs, not a problem nowadays. That was a concern back then. Ha'ika meis, ha'ika chayisha. So the Gemara says, but wait a second. If you do nothing now, then let's say you might live for, I don't know, a few more months, whatever it is. If you go to the doctor, this non-Jewish doctor, you might die immediately. So should you substitute, right, definite chai shah, temporary life, for potential long life or potential death, right? We see how this goes into hazardous, risky procedures. And the Gemara says, l'chai shah lo chai shinan, we're not concerned here with temporary life. Meaning what? Better take a chance and so that you can live a longer time versus the concern that if you go to the doctor right now, you're going to die, he might kill you right now. And the Gemara says, what's the source for this? It's a source for, he cites in Malachim Beis, this is a story with the four Mitzorah. We actually say it's one of the Haftorahs, I think Tazria Mitzorah. There are four lepers. And they said that, well, we're going to die because there's no food. So there's an enemy camp. And and the enemy camp probably has food. And if we don't go, we probably can live a few more days, you know, without any food. If we go to the camp, then what? We can find some food, or we could be killed. So because they said, okay, let's go to the camp. And apparently the Gemara says that was a smart decision. They went to the camp, and they found out that all the soldiers left, and it was a big miracle. But the point being that this again, was a situation where if they maybe you should stay and do nothing and live for a longer period of time, or engage in a dangerous behavior where you can die right away. So we take the position. We're not concerned of chayisha, the fact that by me engaging in the dangerous position right now, I might die right away, right? So you're giving up what's called chayisha, temporary life, and you're allowed to give up potential temporary life for the possibility of some future life, okay? Now, and basically, the in source 3, we're not going to be inside, and Chavzai says, you do whatever makes sense for you. You do whatever makes sense. Now, there's this chayisha. What was that chayisha? Do we care about chayisha? Do we not care about chayisha? Do we care about temporary life? Do we not care about temporary life? So Tosafot says, well, it depends. If, let's say, someone's under a debris and there's an avalanche, and by removing the debris, you know, you could have the person live even a short period of time longer. Yeah, people would want that. They'd want to live longer, so you can do that. You would care about it even a short period of time. However, most people, he says, Tosafot says, most people might want to risk, you know, they would risk the possibility of being killed right away for the possibility they could live a long time. Now, there's to engage in a dangerous procedure right now. You're allowed to waive that dangerous, you know, you're allowed to put yourself in a dangerous position where you can, let's say someone has 6 months to live. If you engage in a procedure, you can live a long time. So if you don't do anything, you'll live 6 months. If you have the procedure, then you can die right now, or you can live for a long time. So what would people want to do in that case, right? Would people take the procedure? Right. If you say that if I don't engage in the procedure, I have 6 months to live. Right? If I engage in the procedure, then it's a risky procedure. I might not live at all, but I might live for many, many years. Right? So Tosafot is saying that there you're putting yourself at a risk where you might die right away. It said you could definitely live for 6 months. But Tosafot is saying in that case, We do whatever is best for the person. Okay? Right? So in fact, in source 4, there's a Shvus Yaakov, the rabbi, Yaakov and Yosef Reischer. He lived in the 17th, 18th century. He says, based on these Gemaras, he says, Mirofe Mumcha al Chola Echa. It's a story of an expert doctor regarding one sick person. Shechola Escholyo, he got sick. Shekarov Lamos, he was about to die. V'chol ha-rofim omdim, and all the doctors estimated, shevada yamus toch yom o yomayim. He was definitely going to die within a day or two. Ach she'omdim, however, they estimated, sheyesh od refua achaz. There's one more treatment. She'efshar she'israpim mechol yo, that you can heal him from his sickness. V'gam efshar lehevek, but there's also possibility of the opposite. Shim yikach refua, so if he takes his medicine, im eno tatzlich, if it's not successful, yamus miyad, he's going to die right away. He's going to die within a day or two. Imuter lasus refuazu. Are you allowed to do this? Are you allowed to do this treatment? Or do we say no? Well, better don't put yourself in a risky situation. Better live for those few extra days. And then why? Because v'shev al tasa. Are they better not to do anything? Benidon zeh. In this case, kivin shevada yomo. Since he's definitely going to die, manichim havadai. You're allowed, if someone's definitely going to die within a few days or a few weeks or a few months, he's definitely going to die. So, and you could do a procedure that might kill him right away or might have him live a long time. So we say that you can rely on the potential doubtful situation, even if it means that you might end the person's life earlier. Okay? It's pretty, I think that's intuitive, right? It's pretty intuitive. It's not nothing like a, Now, what's interesting is the question of how. The truth is, probably, I would probably imagine, at least in America, like, I don't know when doctors engage in procedures. Like, you know, like, how do they make decisions whether they undergo a procedure? Like, let's say there's a 10% chance or 20% chance. like what, I guess it depends when insurance will cover it, right? I mean, that's not, like, it's an interesting question. Like, in other words, when will a hospital or a doctor, when will insurance take, you know, when will insurance cover a certain case? So they're probably also going through this analysis. So, like, what factors do you think an insurance company would, like, determine whether it's a worthwhile risk?
You know?
No, I'm not saying we're doing that. I'm just curious. I'm curious what people would say. I think we're gonna, like, you know, what factors would you determine whether one should take this? I'm saying halachics. We're deciding halacha when you should do that. But I'm sure the medical profession, the insurance also do that. Yeah. What would you think?
In Israel, yeah. With their socialized medicine,
right?
At certain ages, they refuse to do certain procedures and they refuse to do certain tests.
Okay.
If you want an MRI and you're over the age of 80,
right,
then go to another country.
Okay. So you're saying,
that was a dollar and cents decision made by the insurance company.
So I'm curious. So when they make dollar and cents decisions, so you're saying maybe it's by age. What other factors might people make other than age? Okay, so the likelihood of success, right? The benefit is, right? So it's interesting. So does halacha, in asking a halacha question, also putting one's life in potential danger, do they also take some of these factors into account? So the Achiezer, that's this Rav Chaim Sosinski, so he cites this interesting question. He says, in source 5, he says, regarding the question that he asked about a sick person, and he says, below, up, you know, we have to read the Hebrew though. Look at the top line. He says, "V'tarashela becholav arofim mumchim omrim ki below." What's the word after below? The first line of source 5. I aleph pei ayin resh aleph tzad yud aleph nun. What's that word? What is that word? Come on. What is that? Come on. Thank you. Operation. Okay. Good. Okay. Operation. Okay. Regarding this question that he asked. With a sick person, the doctors actually would say, "Ki below operation, without a nituach, without an operation, lo yichayose mishisha chadashim. He's not going to live more than 6 months. Vayde nituach efshar sheyichya, and through the operation, it's possible he's going to live. Achay nituach masukan mo'am, but the operation is very dangerous. Vikarov yoser sheyamos mehera, and it seems almost certain, or more likely, that he's going to die quickly." So in other words, what's the chance of success? The chance in this case is it's very risky. So the choronir it seems me avarzar kolzman shevadai meis misrapi lechayisha lo chashin and hecha deavshis rapi af baofen rachok kol shenis yashu mirufuosof. So he writes here, it seems that we don't care. It seems from our Gemara that it doesn't make a difference what the likelihood of success. If I don't treat this illness and the person's going to die, and if I do treat it, even if there's a small percentage chance, so it seems that you could always treat this person, even if there's a major risk. However, he cites, and he says this was the case in Shavuos Yaakov, and Binyan Tzion, and Tiferes Yisrael, and he says the reason is simple. I'm reading the English. That there's no distinction between temporary life for a few days or a few months, or a short time, and for the life of an hour, we would not concern ourselves. However, there is a book called the Mishnas Chachamim. There's this rabbi, Rav Meshulam Feivish of Kremenitz. And he died he was in the 18th century. And he says the following. He actually disagrees. He says that there must be a substantial doubt as to whether the person will live, just as there must be a substantial doubt whether he will die immediately. So there actually, in the Sefer Mishnas Chachamim, so he wants to say that that maybe there's a difference if it's, there's like a 50-50 chance of whether the procedure is going to be successful or not. So then, okay, then you're allowed to put yourself in a situation where you can say, you know, there's a decent chance I'm going to live, so I can undergo this procedure. But if it's like a 90% chance, Sicily Ezra talks about the two-thirds of a chance, that's not what the Gemara is talking about. In other words, I can't put myself, this is the Mishnah's Chachamim. He said, I can't put myself in a situation, well, I will almost certainly kill myself by undergoing a procedure where there is almost all likelihood that it's not going to be, let's say there's a 10% chance that the surgery is going to be successful, and if it's not, I'm going to die. And so he takes this view, which I think we would all disagree with. It's a minority view out there. I'll tell you a question in a second, Mechel. But he takes this view that the Gemara, which allows it in a reasonable doubt. It's a possibility here or there. But if I'm almost ending my life, in halacha, you say, what's the difference? Because here, I'm definitely going to die. Versus here, there's a 10% chance. I should be able to go for the 10% chance. There's this view in Judaism that we don't like to actively take lives. So if you study like euthanasia, like we're more inclined to withhold treatment than actually withdraw treatment. So there's this notion of like we don't end someone's life. We simply, if need be, if we think it's a chesed, a kindness to the person, then we may simply withhold treatment. But we're not going to end life. That's probably what's behind this position, that if it's so unlikely that the procedure will be successful, then you can't take this step because you're actively ending the person's life earlier. That being said, give me 1 second, Mechel. That being said, that is a minority view. The Achiezer says you could even undergo the procedure even if there's a small likelihood of success. And Rav Asher Weiss is of the view that this is the normative position. So there is this minority view out there that says, even if there's a small percentage chance, it's going to be successful, you can't do it, because it's like you're actively killing the person, or because you're likely going to kill the person. But that's a minority view. Yeah, Mechel.
So for Tosfos in his age, he did not have any qualifications.
Right. That's it. Right. So what he wants to say, the way he reads the Gemara, is that, the Mishnah's Chachamim, who was strict on this matter, so he read the Gemara, as he said, there's a safek means like a reasonable doubt, not like almost likely not. Yeah. The Gemara, which says, when there's a suffix, what's the legal definition of a suffix? Sorry, so that's the question. Sitz Eliezer also makes a comment about that also, but that's not the dominant view. The dominant view nowadays is even if there's a small chance, then one can definitely take the risk. Now the other question is, let's say someone says there's a really risky procedure. If he doesn't take this risky procedure, he's going to live for 5 years. What would you say that? Would that make a difference? Is there a difference if it's 6 months, if it's 2 days?
I have a question.
Yeah.
Question.
Yeah. What are you, Jewish?
Is the standard that we're talking about, are they objective standards or subjective standards? In other words, is it the patient's decision? Is it like what a reasonable physician do? Who sets the standards?
Right. It seems here that that's a debate. I don't want to say that. There are two different questions, by the way. Generally speaking, if the patient can there's a lot of leeway. The patient has a lot. That's a topic unto itself. But generally speaking, many posts can say the patient has a lot of wiggle room if it's a reasonable position. Then there's another question, which is if the patient's not around, do you sort of guess what he would have done? Like, or do you do what a reasonable person would do? So there are actually two different questions, whether the patient can make the decision And so like Rav Schachter takes the view, for example, if like, if it's a reasonable decision, there's a lot of leeway. If someone say yes, someone say no, then you have the leeway. You never have to engage in a risky procedure if you don't want to. So it would seem here that you would be allowed to do it and allowed not to do it. Okay, but that's an interesting topic unto itself. You know, who makes the decision, and can you make foolish decisions about yourself? So here we're asking, are you allowed to? Right, patient autonomy. So yeah. No, what I'm saying is, so what's interesting, he says, in this tshuva, the Achi Ezer, in the bottom of the tshuva, he cites the Mishkas Chachamim, where he says you should reflect on the matter and rely on the most expert doctors. So he said, in other words, you have to speak to a lot of doctors about this. Obviously, you speak to a Rav to clarify what the halacha is. But I'm saying, the rabbi will tell you what the halacha is. I think what Mendy's question, is it that you're allowed to? Are we asking, are you allowed to, not allowed to? Or is that you must yes or must no? So what I'm saying is, will the rabbi tell you that you're either allowed to undergo this procedure or not undergo this procedure? In which case, maybe it's up to you to decide whether you want to take the procedure. Oh, 100%, that's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is the rabbi or the halakha authority or if you study the halakhos, so this will clarify what room you have. But what I was telling Mendy is that I don't think halakha necessarily in this case will tell you that you must undergo the procedure. It will only tell you that you're allowed to or you're not allowed to. But if it's a reasonable position, I think someone could say, I don't want to take that risk also. Generally speaking, that's the... Again, the Mishnas Chachamim would say no, and the Achi Ezer would generally say yes. And if the doctors would say there's a remote possibility, so then and they've done it, then the answer is yes. If there's some kind of like, you would not be allowed to engage in some kind of like thing that has no medical basis at all. Like that you would not be allowed to do. But if there's some reasonable, and where you draw the line is very. I think Rav Schachter gives a lot of autonomy to the patient. Basically, obviously going to the rub to get the psak, but there's a lot of autonomy once it's allowed, whether you should or whether you shouldn't. That's generally given to the patient. Now, the other question is like, if someone's going to live for like 6 months, right, without the, you don't do it, I think you have 6 months to live. So do you put yourself at risk? I think we'd make a different decision if it would be 5 years, right? Why? Why would we make a different decision? Right. So the question is, at what point, right? There might never be a new procedure. And like, at some point, when doctors say you have 5 years to live, like, you know.
It also depends on how old you are. If you're 80 years old.
All right. It could be the age as well. And it could be like, at some point, how accurate are the doctors? Like, if doctors will say you have maybe someone has approximately 3 months to live, they probably have a greater degree of accuracy than to say you have 12 months or 15 months to live or 5 years to live, right? So what's, in other words, here's the halachic terminology is you're allowed to risk potential chaye sha'a, temporary life, for Chai Olam, for a long life. So what's this Chai Isha? Right? What's Chai Olam? So Rashi says Chai Isha is that case where they had the non-Jewish doctor, you know, he may only live 1 or 2 days. So that's not so much. The Achi Ezer, when Moshe finds it as a tshuva, in source 7, this is in Yoredeya, Chelek Gimel Siman Levar. And he says the following, and we'll read in English. And if he will survive without surgery for a few years in a state of temporary life, meaning that due to his illness, he is at risk of dying at any moment, but he is estimated that this situation could continue for many, many years, Although it seems from the Achiezer that we could permit the surgery if through it he will certainly live, even though it is, is possible that the surgery will not succeed, will die quickly. Nevertheless, it's difficult to permit this, because the Achiezer mentioned only months, but not years. So in other words, if the doctors say, in your current state, you can live for a bunch of years, so that might not be allowed. Now, if the doctor says that you could live, you don't do anything for a bunch of years, so then, you know, Achiezer never, Rav Chaim Moshe Grudzinski never said that you could undergo the risky procedure. They said, we're talking about where someone could, you know, the Achiezer's case was basically 6 months. So if you have 6 months, the doctor said you have 6 months to live. If you don't undergo this risky surgery, so he said, yeah, 6 months, I understand. 6 months, you could take this risky procedure, because there, your average person would say it's a worthwhile risk. Again, it's interesting. You're saying, what about the person's age? I haven't seen the post-game talk about the 35-year-old mother versus 80-year-old, but it makes sense what you're saying. That also might have to do with maybe the likelihood of success, but it seems that the distinction that they're making here is, you know, to have the procedure for something that's only where for 6 months, yeah, it's worth it to have the procedure, but for much longer, maybe not, yeah?
There probably is.
There are a lot of, you say, what if he's not going to be living?
I can't do anything I want to do.
Right. So you probably don't have to. Again, it's your option not to.
May I?
Yeah, I would say so. Right, I would say so, because there are the, in general. I mean, I don't want to be can't. I mean, well, you can't do anything. But if you're limited, some people feel that's quality of life.
If I sit in a chair, yeah. I don't strain myself. I can live.
Yeah. So I think in that case they would say that you'd be allowed, because again, it's still something. You would still. There's a lot of patient autonomy. Ramosha Feinstein wants to say. He says basically 12 months. And he basically, this tshuva, he says 12 months. He basically said, Achiezer wrote 6 months, Rav Moshe wrote 12 months. Let's see how Rav Asher Weiss looks at this in source state. He says, in truth, he looks at all these tshuvos, he says, there is no clearly defined time limit. Rather, whoever progressively degenerates until death within a time frame, which people consider a short time, is classified as chayisha. In practical terms, it seems appropriate to adopt a time frame of 6 months, as mentioned by the Achiezer. The reason behind this duration is based on medical studies I have seen, which state that medical estimates of a life expectancy of 6 months or less generally have a very high degree of accuracy. However, when doctors estimate a life expectancy of 1 year or more, the person frequently lives for longer than that, sometimes many more years longer. Therefore, in practice, when the medical estimate is that the ill person will die within 6 months, he is treated as one with chaye sha'a, meaning he's only going to live a temporary amount of time, and therefore, you can undergo a risky procedure. If someone's only going to live, let's say, for 6 months, then you can undergo a risky procedure. But if the doctors say that he can live longer than that, one should not rule leniently in his case by defining his life prospects as chayisha. So he seems to like the 6 months. However, he says even this determination is not ironclad, for the various individual circumstances of each case must always be taken into account, and I cannot go into greater length concerning this. In other words, what he says is definitely undergoing risky procedures for less than 6 months, the doctors are probably correct. Once they're saying more than 6 months, then it might be more than a year, you know, longer than that, and then maybe could be that there could be new procedures that could come out. But he said it's not a hard and fast rule. In other words, you can imagine if someone said if you don't take the procedure now, then you won't be able to take it in 6 months, maybe he'd rule differently. But these are sort of like two different, I guess, when we're deciding about hazardous procedures, undergoing risky medical procedures, I think the two main issues that come into play are, number one, this question of how likely is this procedure going to be? And again, it seems that we generally, Rav Asher Weiss says, we generally reject the minority view that even a very, very risky procedure, we don't say, well, you're probably going to kill him, so you can't actively do that. We don't say that. You can't, someone, God forbid, they're in the end of life, you're not allowed to withdraw their treatment. You're not allowed to withdraw life support. You can't withdraw treatment. But you can withhold, but not withdraw. But taking a risky life procedure is not equivalent to that. That's his first point. And point number two is, again, the risky procedure, if it's a very risky procedure, it should be something where, again, if the person is told he has less than 6 months to live, so then you definitely can. More than that, he is very hesitant. But again, it depends on each case. Okay. Another interesting issue that Rav Asher Weiss does is the issue of triage. Prioritize, right? You have different beds in the ICU. So this came up a lot in COVID. A lot of these guys give them COVID. Like, who do you give first? Can you remove someone? Like, in other words, two patients come together to the hospital. Who do you give the bed to first? Or can you take, let's say you have one person in a bed and someone else comes in, can you remove one person? Someone have rights on his bed once he's there. Does he have rights in that, right? I don't know, what do you think? First come, first serve? What? Never say. Okay. Right. Is that top of the... We're not going to get to a lot of decisions. So Feinstein says the following. So he says, Shnei cholim, she'echad tzarech l'ripoy, b'vadai, v'hurach l'chayisha, v'asheni safek im tzarech ripoy, avol yochol l'raposo, ezevim kodem. So you have two patients. One of them definitely requires treatment, but only for a limited time. In other words, he can only live for a certain period of time. Even if the treatment is successful, the doctor will only live for up to a few months. And the second one, we don't know if he needs a treatment. We're not sure if it's going to help, but if it does help him, it's going to help him for longer. So who do you treat first? Right, another question. Okay, so let's see. Uvidavar shnecholim, and then the second case is, let's say you have two people who are sick. So you have two sick people. One of them, the doctors think he'll only be able to live, for a temporary period of time, a few months. Let's say the treatment is only to alleviate pain, but he needs intensive care. Vasheni, the second one, the fia umdana shalahem, according to their underestimate, yochol nirapol, so they can heal him. Aval ein yadu lahem mitzarech letipol nimratz kazeh shalosi betacholim bayichida letipol nimratz. And the second one, they don't know whether he will need intensive care. Now, two people come into a hospital room. One guy he definitely needs, but it will only help him for a few months, but he could definitely help. And the second one, we don't know whether he's going to need intensive care. And what's the rule? V'yesham rak mitachai b'yichida. There's only one bed. So mi kolam l'hachli yishem tipo nifratz b'tchilak shivu bas achas. You have one person who's like, at the end of his life, you can help him for another 3 months. And someone, we don't know the situation. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says in the next paragraph, he says, it seems to me that shim bo shnei mabas achas, if two people come the same time, haim kom shichnisu echad, you see they're racing, and they say, well, who's going to get first? Shichnisu echad behem tzorich lahachli b'tchilas mi shodas rofin yitzom sham yecholim l'raposo im gam l'chol hazeh tzorich lahaschol techef im yech tzorich af misafet. So what do you see? The first one should be the one who the doctors believe can be cured, even if it's questionable. I think what you're saying, actually, it's like a bari v'shema, right? It's you go by who can be cured. V'im kvar hichnisu shames achola, sheledatam hurak lechayei sha'a. But let's say they already, so let's say that they already brought in the sick person who is temporary. Ein motziyim misham, you don't take him out. Bein sheichnisuhu kedin machma she'adayin lo yashama chola sheni, u'bein she'asu lo kedin. So this is Moshe has a fascinating argument. He says, if you take in someone who only, if you take in, I'm sorry, I'm going to say this again. If both people come at the same time, so you say, whoever the doctors believe can be healed permanently. Sheyicholim leraposo, even if it's a suffix. I'm sorry. But Moshe says, if you have two people coming in, and one person only can live for 3 months, potentially, and the other one, potentially, can live a long time. He's a generally healthy person. He has a certain situation. You go to the person who can, the Chai Olam wins out over Chai Shah. Someone who's a Chai Olam wins out over Chai Shah. But, he said, if the Chai Shah comes first, the person only has 3 months to live. So then he says that, then the Chai Olam comes later. You don't remove the Chai Shah from the bed. Why? He says, he says that Vatam Pashu, the reason is the Vaday Chai Haroi Lisrape Vilichios Kol Yume Chayav Haroim Shiyichya Kederch Staminche Adifa Me'eli Shomim Lamus Mitzad Choli Shalhem Shalidu Rofi Rufula Machlasa. A person whose life is worthy of being healed, and extended is more important than one whose disease is unknown for someone who's known, no cure has been found. In other words, if two people are coming at the same time, so Moshe says, okay, the guy who's Chai Olam comes first. But if you've already started treating the Chai Shah, so then he wins out. Because he, once you're treating him, then you can continue treating him. Well, again, I don't know if you're withdrawing. He's in the bed, and you've started treating him. Okay, you can't stop. But right. 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 Yeah. So then he said. Right.
And then another person comes in and definitely needs treatment.
Right.
And successful
treatment will be high-yield. Right. Right. Okay. So we're gonna get to that. Okay. Yeah, I hear. Okay. So let's see. So here, Ramosha then says the next paragraph. So Vozehu La Olba. This is generally. A patient is not obligated to save others with his life. This is like a wild chiddush. Rav Moshe Feinstein says, he's got dibs. He said that once he has been admitted to the ICU for treatment, he has like earned his place. He's acquired. This is a ChatGPT translation of the tshuva. Yeah, I love the zacha means earned, but he's acquired his place. This is not only a time when he's actually paid for it. Even if he hasn't paid, if he's a poor person, once you are being treated, you have dibs. You have the right. You own this kind of makom. And Ramosha, it's an interesting chiddush. Moshe says that again, if two people arrive at a different time, the Chai Olam wins out. They arrive at different times. Ramosha says the first individual who comes takes precedence because he sort of like acquires his spot. Right. Yeah.
And there were people who they understood were not going to make it. And they were coming in who essentially were healthy. And where
yeah. So we're going to see Rav Asher Weiss and Rav Asher Shechter disagree with Rav Moshe. I agree with you. I understand. Many of Rav Shechter, we're going to see. No, in other words, if you know, no, here's the question. If you know, no, so let's continue here. He says, look, he says, Umista Bear. Okay, go on, next paragraph. Umista Bear, it seems also. Davi Masheni, Shef Shel Raposa, Hunami Ata Masukun Godo, Shetzarech Lachnisa Mitchil Lacheder HaYechida. And this is it. Let's say the second patient, you know, they need to be treated right now. Not where we don't know his situation. Second patient needs to be treated now. He's in a very dangerous state. So Moshe says, Nami in Lahotzi Esarishan Shinimsa Sham, you cannot remove the first person. Av Shechayev Hu Rak Chayisha, even though the first guy is only going to live for a few months, according to the doctors, or a few days, a few weeks. Shere Gam Lahatzil Vadai Eino Mechuyav Hachob Ben Avsho. I'm the sick person. I'm not obligated to basically give up my few months, my place for someone else. He said, but when the two of us are about to be admitted, so then we can decide to give the Chaya Olam first before the Chaya Shah. That we can do. But he says, okay, so that is, and then let's read the, let's turn the page, the rest of the tshuva. Although this only applies when the second patient does not know that. According to the doctor's estimation, they cannot be cured. If the second patient knew this, it would cause them great distress. And therefore, since it's more common for patients not to know their true prognosis, then it might be preferable to admit the patient who arrived first to ICU. But okay, this is really a separate point. But let me just focus on what we have until now. Rav Moshe basically takes the view that Chaya Olam wins out over Chaya Shah if they come the same time. And he says that once the Chaya Shah comes, so then he's kona his makom. He doesn't give his life for the other person. Rav Asher Weiss disagrees. Rav Shechter also disagrees. If you look in source 10, Rav Asher Weiss says, nevertheless, in my opinion, it seems more correct that even in this case, we should remove the patients with prospects for Chaya Shah from the unit to make room for the patient whose life can be saved for Chaya Olam. My basis for saying this is twofold, for in truth, in my opinion, both premises of Igros Moshe is really open to contention. Firstly, it seems. And since it's accepted practice in hospitals for patients to be moved from unit to unit according to the evaluation of the medical staff, and the patient has no right or real possibility to oppose such a transfer, there is no room to indicate that he acquires his place. No one acquires their place. Hospitals are constantly taking people and moving from room to room, so no one acquires their place. Even patients who are in intensive care units will be moved when there is improvement in their condition, or if there are urgent cases that require more attention and closer observation. Therefore, there is essentially no difference between a patient who is already occupying a bed and a patient who is still outside. This is even in light of what we established above, that the acquisition is not meant in a formal monetary sense, rather as an acquisition of rights. Nevertheless, since the continued presence of a patient in any given ward cannot be assured, and patients regularly move from unit to unit, this has no relevance. So he, Rav Asher Weiss, rejects the notion of someone acquiring, you know, a bed or this, because hospitals are constantly changing people, moving them. But again, if let's say you're dealing with, hospital. Let's say if hospitals are trying to figure out, you know, what's the ethical thing to do, or they could, you know, confirm with the rabbi what's going on in Eretz Yisrael also. So what's the appropriate thing to do if you're following halacha, you know, in terms of triage? Yeah, but not again, but probably not the same. But not the same, a different level. It's not an ICU, it's gonna be a different level. No, he is as needing, but it's only for Chayisha. It's only because he's Chayisha. And then he says, it further seems to me that it is not entirely accurate to classify the removal of a patient from intensive care unit as an act of taking a life. The main benefit in that unit is that of monitoring, close continuous observation of the patient's condition. There is no significant difference in the actual medical treatment. So you're making, actually, a little bit. There's no actual difference in the actual medical treatment given in that unit from one to the other, and there is no immediate danger of removing a patient from there. Therefore, one should not define the removal from the ICU as taking a life. At the most, it constitutes a possible increase in risk regarding future danger. Right, that's true. You're right. So Rav Shechter, by the way, Right, so Rav Shachter, so he held, he says the rule, there's a rule of ein, there's a principle called ein dochin nefesh mipnei nefesh. You can't push off one life to save another life. So that only applies, Shachter says it only applies to active killing, but it doesn't apply to placing someone at more risk to save the life of others. Like, these are interesting questions, but you know, active killing, like a hazardous medical procedure, when there's a, is that considered active killing or not, when there's a small chance of being saved, of being successful? Is this active killing when someone already is in the ICU and you're moving them to a place where they're not going to be monitored as much? So at least Rav Shachter thinks that's not a violation of Ein Dochi Nefesh, because again, it's not, it's just an issue of level of risk. And Rav Asher, let me finish. Rav Asher Weiss believes that actually the standard procedure in Israeli hospitals is to remove less critically ill patients from the ICU in favor of those in dire need of the ICU. So that's standard practice in Israel. And you know, in terms of the lung transplants, I think in COVID, Rav Shachter, if I remember correctly, I think he ruled actually that there's actually, if this is really a separate point, but there's no, if you know that there's a group type of unfortunately certain types of patients that they're chayei sha'a, and you know there's a whole group of patients who are going to come in who are going to be chayei olam, then it might even be that it's if they're already here. Like our cases, you have two people are coming in, you know who's coming in. Could be in COVID where there's so many people coming in, then no one actually has priority. It's a virtual certainty, and it's like that. So just to conclude, and then I'll take your comments or questions. So you can reflect, you know, hopefully on the delicate balance between preserving life and making halachic decisions that consider both the temporal and eternal aspects of human existence. You know, throughout this discussion, we've seen that the sanctity of life is of utmost importance in Jewish law, whether it means that you can violate Shabbos in order to save life, or also even in terms of potentially medical procedures. Yet halacha also provides flexibility and wisdom in situations where the preservation of life is at stake, even when the risks are high or the chances of success are uncertain. So then we saw in the case of triage, prioritizing life is not just a matter of health, but of understanding the value of both chayei olam and chayei sha'a, the immediate and the long term, the temporal and the eternal. And so what we've seen is that on the one hand, we've seen that we do value chayei sha'a, right? But then we said, so we're willing to undergo, we're willing to take a risk. We're willing to take a risk to change from chayei sha'a to a state of chayei olam. We're willing to risk the chayei sha'a for the purpose of chayei olam. Right, and then we said also that we have this debate, you know, Moshe and Rav Asher Weiss, and I think Rav Shachter is on the side of Rav Asher Weiss, or Rav Asher Weiss is on the side of Rav Shachter, that when it comes to once you're treating Chai Shah, do you continue or not, or do you lose to Chai Olam? And whereas Rav Moshe would say Chai Shah, once you're treated, wins, and we've seen Rav Asher Weiss says no. That in triage, Chayei Olam also wins out over Chayei Sha'a. And this is what halacha tries to do, try to balance, you know, even the temporal life, but we see that that's also important, but also, obviously, long-term life is actually important as well.